If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask if you would please open up to the 17th Psalm, Psalm 17. Just kind of want to make an announcement, I guess you can say. I want to thank the fellas, first of all, for the time that they're putting in over these next few months. And I just kind of want to throw this out so that you're aware of it. Over this next 3 months, we're going to be making a decision as to whether or not we continue this early service. It has become very, very up and down and up and down, and indicating to me that maybe the service has outlasted what it was intended to do. This service was to be a service to feed the areas of the church where people could gain more spiritual strength, where they could gain depth in the Lord, where they could get introduced to Jesus Christ and kind of go from there, and it's not serving that purpose. And in fact, we have seen more as people connect in this service, they let other areas of the church go. And so it's technically even become a kind of a counterproductive service to the building of the church. And so we're going to be making some decisions, and these are tough decisions. And we certainly seek your prayer and ask you to really have the Lord give us some wisdom and direction, and perhaps even ask the Lord for yourself and say, Lord, am I really being for you all that I need to be? And so I'm just going to ask you to be praying and ask the Lord as to what he wants for the future of this service. And like I said, over the next 3 months, we're going to see what transpires. I've asked the Lord to give us direction over this period of time, and we'll kind of go from there. All right, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of being the apple of God's eye. So I'm going to ask you to open up, I believe I told you, to Psalm 17. So let's read what this particular psalm has to say. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look with equity. Thou hast tried my heart. Thou hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have proposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God. Incline thine ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show thy loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at thy right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me, they have closed their unfeeling heart. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion that is eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with thy sword, from men with thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life and whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, and Lord, for the way that you present your word to us. Father, thank you for the very insights that you reveal to us, even through this psalm of desperation. Father, thank you for the insights that let us know and have the kind of faith that the psalmist had, Lord, that we are the apple of your eye. And so, Lord, help us to understand that though men rise against us, though men do deceitful things in this world, Lord, you are the ultimate judge who will take care of all things. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for it's in your awesome and incredible name that we pray. Amen. This morning from this particular psalm, I want to share with you four things that I've gleaned from this passage that kind of help us to understand who we are in God's eyes. I want to share with you the fact that he hears us when we cry, that he helps us when we try, that he hides us when we're shy, and that he holds us when we die. And if we realize that in all of those areas of life, the Lord is always there, and he has always given us hope, and he is always giving us encouragement, then we can face anything that the enemy tries to throw at us. And we need to realize that the enemy is the very enemy of God. It is Satan himself who does all that he can to destroy what God so desperately loves and so passionately cares for. So, let's begin to look at this. And we need to, in this, remember we are very special to God. First of all, he hears us when we cry. Look at the first verse. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Lord, hear my cry. I'm coming before you, Father, with righteous lips. I have followed your will. I have followed your way. And yet there are those who will do everything they can to try to defeat and try to destroy the work that you have done in my life. You see, David ran into that type of thing with Saul. David had stepped up when the children of Israel were being taunted by a wicked, evil giant. David stood up, just a young boy, against the giant with just some rocks, and he defeated the enemy. Saul's response to that was jealousy. Saul's response to that was anger and revenge. And over and over and over, then Saul tried to kill David. And so as David prays, he is very frustrated with, he did what God had directed him to do, and yet the very one that he was trying to support turned on him. And you know, that's what the psalmist is going through. The psalmist is going, look, attend my cry. You see, we must cry to the Lord when we are distressed or when we are disappointed, because he is everlasting. He is unlimited. He is understanding. He truly cares about the things that touch our lives. And so, what we need to do is go before him whenever we are distressed, whenever we feel rejected, whenever we feel alone. We go before the Lord and seek his presence and his help, because he will hear us when we cry out to him. Secondly, I want you to notice that he helps us when we try. Look at the fifth verse. My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. What the psalmist is saying here is, I have been faithfully obedient. I have walked on the path. And it's interesting because the reference here to path is making a reference to a particular way and a particular direction. That way or that direction is in reality what it is the way of holiness. It is the path of righteousness. And so as the psalmist is crying out here, he is talking about the fact that, Lord, you know me way down on the inside. You know my heart. You know my actions. You know that I have walked faithfully with you. I have been obedient to you. And because I have walked faithfully with you, because I've been obedient to you, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Trying here simply means walking in faithful obedience to God. That's what trying is. And when we walk faithfully, obediently before God, He takes up our cause. That's an incredible thing for us to understand. Now, God did not promise that our road would be, you know, flowery, cottony clouds, how everything is just wonderful and pretty getting through this life. But He has promised that no matter what evil things try to attack us and destroy us, He's going to be faithful. And He'll give us the strength to get through whatever it is. In the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist is talking about the paths that he has to walk. And he talks in that particular psalm about not fearing any evil, for God is with him. And that God's rod and that God's staff will protect him. You see, when we walk faithfully in God's path, we have the overshadowing protection of the Spirit of God. But when we determine we're going to do things our way, and we're going to sidestep the way of God, we go on our own. We don't have the assurance of His presence with us when we willfully disobey Him, or when we willfully walk in paths that we know are wrong. But when we walk in God's way, He blesses us, and He helps us, and He cares for us. Number three, God hears us when we cry. God helps us when we try. He hides us when we're shy. He hides us when we're shy. Look at verse 8. The psalmist says, first of all, keep me as the apple of the eye. That's an interesting statement because it means keep me as the focus of your watchfulness. You see, that's what it is. Keep me as the focus of your watchfulness. And then he says this, hide me in the shadow of thy wings. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. Lord, cover me with your feathers. Lord, cover me so that the enemy cannot find, so that the enemy cannot attack, so that the enemy is driven another direction. Hide me from unrighteous and wicked people. In this world, folks, you're going to find unrighteous and wicked people. It's going to happen. If you have ever worked in a shop, you know that's true. If you have ever worked with the public in any fashion, you're going to know that that's true. There are simply people whose intentions is evil and wrong no matter what. My wife and I had an interesting thing that took place this week. We got a thank you in the mail from Amazon. Amazon said, thank you for your recent order of a $1,060 television set that is to be shipped overnight to Alabama. Number one, I don't know anybody in Alabama. Number two, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a TV for them, even if I do know them. If I have to buy a TV for somebody, it's going to be a $50 used one, and they're going to have to accept that. But we were a little befuddled by that. And so we contacted our bank, and we said, "What in the world's going on here?" And they said, has any money been taken out of your account? And we said, no, but we got this thing from Amazon. And they said, Amazon's security has been breached. And we're getting a lot of these calls. And, you know, as I began to think about that, I thought, you know, there are people that have nothing better to do than to sit at a computer and do whatever they can to disrupt someone else's life. That's evil. That's evil. And that's kind of the type of thing, although the psalmist didn't have a computer, all right? They hadn't been invented yet, in case you're one of these young ones who thinks that computers have always existed. They hadn't been invented yet, okay? Al Gore had not had the opportunity to create the internet, which I still laugh at. But there have always been people who just in an effort to elevate themselves will try to cause pain on someone else. That's evil. That's absolutely evil. That's why the scriptures talk about, look, gossip is a sin, because that's an attempt by somebody else to destroy someone. That's evil. Evil communications that come out of the mouth. Gossip is included, so is cursing, so is all types of evil communication. And that's pure evil. And so when these types of things begin to happen about us, we need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, hide me from this. Keep me protected from my enemies. And that becomes important. Christians become exhausted physically, mentally, and spiritually when they're going through the heat of spiritual battle. And so the psalmist is asking for a place of rest, for a place of security, for a place of refreshment, for the opportunity to regain and rebuild his spiritual strength. We must trust and rest in the Lord when we feel like all we want to do is run and hide. You've been there, and so have I. When we just want to get away from everything and just be alone, you've been there. That's those moments of shyness. You just don't want to deal with people. You don't want to deal with problems. You just want to hide. God is our hiding place. He is our refuge and our strength in times of personal trouble, in times of struggle. He is our hope and our stability. He is the rock that we can trust in. And he hides us when we're shy. And then number four, he holds us when we die. Look at verse 15. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. Now catch this. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. You know what the psalmist is talking about here? He's not talking about awakening from a night's rest. He's talking about the resurrection. I'll be satisfied, Lord, to be made in your likeness when I awake. We have many family members and friends that have already left this world. And they lie silent in their graves, waiting for the sound of the trumpet so that they can be raised in the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. But every one of them, in one fashion or another, had that moment in leaving this life when they just needed help. For some individuals, that moment has been drawn out through cancer, through some other dreaded disease that worked at them. And I've been by their bedsides, and probably many of you have as well, where they just cry for the release of death. And they cry for the Lord to hold them, to give them hope, and to give them help. And he does. He is there. The Word of God tells us that precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saint. Precious. God regards that moment of passage from this world to the next as a cherished moment. And he holds us. You know, I'm amazed at the number of Christians who avoid talking about or even thinking about death. I really am. They believe death will be a time of loneliness. It's simply not true. For God is there. And if we live righteously before him in this life, death is not a time of loneliness. But in reality, it's a time of celebration. For the words, well done, not just anybody, but well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your joy. Why is God like that? Because we're the apple of his eye. Because we are the focus of his attention. Because we are the souls that he died for. And because of all of that, he hears us when we cry. He helps us when we try. He hides us when we're shy. And he holds us when we die. Could there be a greater God to be served? No. Could he have better children in all of us? Yes. We need to continually grow, because if we're not, we're dying. And in that situation, death is separation from God. Follow God. Walk close with Him. Walk in faith and truth and in righteousness, and honor Him with your whole life. And He'll be there for you in everything you face. Let's stand.